the world looks upon me as I struggle along. They say I have nothing, but they are so wrong. In my heart I'm rejoicing, oh, I wish they could see. Thank you, Lord, for your blessings on me. There's a roof up above me, I've a good place to sleep. There's food on my table and shoes on my feet. You gave me your love, Lord, and a fine family. Thank you, Lord, for your blessings on me. I know I'm not wealthy, and these clothes, they're not new. I don't have much money, but Lord, I have you. That's all that matters, though the world may not see. Thank you, Lord, for your blessings on me. There's a roof up above me, I've a good place to sleep. There's food on my table and shoes on my feet. You gave me your love, Lord, and a fine family. Thank you, Lord, for your blessings on me. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You gave me your love, Lord, and a fine family. Your blessings on me. Thank you, Lord, for your blessings on me.
Amen. Wonderful. Wonderful. All right. Well, thank you so much. Thank you, Brother Evans, and thank you, Brother Mike. Hey, thank you so much, preacher, and for being here and taking me out to eat. Anybody take me out to eat, I sure do appreciate him. In fact, somebody take me out to eat, I love him. Just to be honest with you. You say, preacher, you sure about that? Yeah, my wife is always feeding me. I love her. I mean, she woke up this morning trying to make sure she fed me before we left. Along on the road, she asked me, was I hungry? And then, of course, I said, we're going to be eating here real soon, but thank you for asking again. And then, Brother Evans, you know what I said to her? I love you. Amen. I tell you what, I love to preach. I really, really do. I love Brother Becker. Now listen, so he called me and asked me to come, and I said okay. At first I kept putting him off. I kept saying, well, you know, I came for Pastor Johnson and stuff, and I don't want you to think, you know, you have to keep having me come and things like that. And he said, no, we want you to come. And then so finally we settled on the time to come, and he says, I'm not going to be there. I'm like, what kind of invite is that? Amen. You know, and again, Pastor John, I understand that. We're friends. We've been around for a while. Matter of fact, we were talking about how we met. Now, he talked about my color of my clothes. And some, but we talked about that. And, of course, I was just letting him know you don't have to. But I thank you for letting me come. I really do. I don't want to be long with you. I see you moved the time up to 6. Thank you for moving it up to 6:30. You say, why, preacher? Because some of us are really starting to get older. Matter of fact, I tell everybody, I said, I'm starting to feel my wife's age. Oh, come on now. You men, you aren't brave enough to say what I just said. Anybody got a ride home for me? But I'm so glad to be. I'm not going to keep you long. I want to get your Bibles, if you would, please. Open it up somewhere, and you pick a place, and I'll try to preach. And no, if you would, please, go to the book of First Kings chapter 18. Most of you know First Kings 18. You know about Elijah on Mount Carmel. And I'm so glad you know that portion of scripture and about how he challenged those prophets and trying to get fire to come down and stuff like that. And I know most of you know that portion of scripture. I'm not going to preach from that part. And I'm going to go down a little bit further. If you got your Bible, 1 Kings 18, probably because you've been here a long time with the preaching you have here, you probably heard something like this from this portion of scripture. But go down to verse number 41 and find it. Stand in honor of God's word just for a moment, if you would, please. And I do that because I don't know what I'm supposed to do when I go most places. Matter of fact, I just jump right in at home. And then when I go places, I know sometimes they say, well, stand in honor of God's word. And I start saying, man, what'd you make me stand up for? I want to sit down. And but here we are. Run 41, the Bible saying, Elijah said unto Ahab, get thee up, eat and drink, for there is a sound, get this here, of abundance of rain. So Ahab went up to eat and to drink, and Elijah went up to the top of Carmel, and he cast himself down upon the earth and put his face between his knees. He's praying right now. And said to his servant, go up now, look toward the sea. And he went up and looked and said, there's nothing. Now, I know it says nothing, but I'm from the south, and there's nothing. There's nothing. And he said, go again seven times. And it came to pass at the seventh time that he said, behold, there rises a little cloud out of the sea like a man's hand. And he said, go up and say unto Ahab. Now, remember, there's going to be an abundance of rain. Prepare thy chariots and get thee down that the rain stop thee not. In other words, man, you better take and evacuate right now. Verse 45, and it came to pass in the meanwhile that the heaven was black with clouds and wind, and there was a great rain. There it is. And Ahab rode and went to Jezreel. And the hand of the Lord was on Elijah, and he girded up his loins and ran before Ahab to the entrance of Jezreel. Father, would you bless now? Would you help us? Would you encourage us? Would you teach us a little something here tonight about sticking with it? Help us, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Go ahead and be seated, if you would, please. Go ahead and be seated. I'm going to have you right now, real quickly, turn your Bibles to the book of James, James chapter number 5. And most of you know, again, this portion of scripture. But before we get there, I want to just ask you a question, because most of you, again, know everything that happened on Mount Carmel. And on Mount Carmel, Elijah had to go to the people, and in 1 Kings 18, 21, he said, it's time for us to make a decision. Who's God? Really, he would say, who's God in your life? Now, if God be God, then you take and follow him. You serve him. And if Baal, then that's who you follow. That's who you serve. But he says, time for out for this halt between two opinions. In other words, it's time out for one moment following God, and next moment following whatever other God you want to follow in your life. He says, time out for all of that. Now, again, I'm not here to take and start talking about who's your God in your life and stuff like that. But if God is God, here's what I'm asking you to do. Stick with him. If God truly is God, the one you say that you've trusted, his son Jesus Christ is your personal Savior, and you believe that he has given you eternal life, and with that he's given you all things that pertain to life, I'm asking you to just stick with him. Because I want you to understand something. There's going to be some times in your life where you're starting to ask yourself, just like John the Baptist, aren't you the one, or should we look for another? You say, wait a minute, preacher, I'm never going to ask that. How is it that we're so great or better Christians than those who walk with Jesus Christ? See, a lot of times what has happened is that we get to a place where, okay, here's what happened. All of a sudden, somebody comes by you and say, hey, how's it going? Better than I deserve. Good. It is. That's true. But a lot of times what we're doing, and by the way, I don't think you should always be complaining. But I think we need to sometimes get real with ourselves. And when I say get real with ourselves, what we need to do is we need to say to ourselves, you know what? Man, things aren't going the way I would like for them to go, but I want you to understand something here. God is still on the throne, and he's still up sitting high and looking down low, and he's got this thing under control. Somebody say amen. God is saying our biggest problem today is this here. When our hard times come, we forget that he's God. So, listen to me now. How's it going? Oh, man, better than I deserve. Oh, hallelujah. Man, I'm on top of the world. I got some news for you. There's been some times I feel like the world's on top of me. And God is saying, when it comes to that point, I want you to help you a little bit tonight, how God has helped me. When it comes to that point in your life, God's not saying you're a bad Christian. You're not a bad Christian because you feel the weight of the world in your life. You're not a bad Christian because all of a sudden you say, oh, woe is me. Let me just kind of help you. Go, if you would, please, to James chapter 5, like I told you here. James chapter 5. Go down to verse number 16. James chapter 5 and verse number 16. I said verse number 16. Make sure I get you right here. James chapter 5 and verse number 16. The Bible says, if any man see his brother sin a sin which is not unto death, he shall act, and he shall give him life for them that sin not unto death. Now watch this here. There is a sin. I'm still in the wrong one. Sorry about that, folks. I'm in the book of 1 John. I knew I was somewhere wrong. The Bible says, confess your faults. Now I got it. Amen. Confess your faults one to another and pray one for another. And I was trying to look for this part right here. Amen. And it says that you may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a what? Righteous man availeth much. God said the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Now here's what God does here, preacher. He says, okay, that effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Now what I'm going to do is I'm going to give you an example of someone who I consider an effectual fervent righteous man. So what does he do in the next verse? Here's what he says here. He says, Elias was a man subject like passions as we are. That man that we're talking about. And here's what he said. He prayed earnestly that it might not rain. And it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. And what happened? And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. So here's what God just said. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Now here's one of those men that I'm talking about. Here's Elijah. Elijah prayed, 1 Kings chapter number 17. And he said that it won't be any rain. There wasn't any rain for 3.5 years. Then all of a sudden he prays again, verse number 18. And there we go. We got some rain. But I want you to understand something here. Here's some things. Maybe you might want to write this down. First of all, Elijah was nothing but a plain man. Just a plain, he said, like passion, like we can even say like this here. Not only am I like Elijah, but Elijah like me. He's just a plain man. And by the way, for those of us who think we're something other than plain people, I got some news for you. You're less than plain. How about that? Bible's just trying to teach us something here. When God calls people and God uses people, God's not always looking, he says to us, the mighty, the wise. Come on now. God said, just plain people. Not many noble, not many, just plain people. And God says, here I got a man who's a plain person. A plain person, here's what he knew how to do. He knew how to pray. So I got a plain person who knows how to pray. Now that's where some of us are coming up short at. We don't know how to pray. One of my favorite verses, Jeremiah 33:3, call unto me and I will answer and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. I believe that verse. My mother taught me over to Matthew 17:21 that some things only come about by prayer and fasting. I'm so glad she taught me that, because I have had to use those verses sometimes when my wife and I were going through some different things. And God, of course, showed me that when I got a hold of him, the mighty things he could do. Now watch this. He was a plain man. He was a praying man. But because he got a hold of God, we saw some powerful things. Some powerful things. And I'm telling you something. Sometimes, again, I just think some of us have looked at that and started saying, look at what us did. You, Elijah, did you get some fire? Did you reach up into heaven and bring them? No, you prayed and God sent it down. So the power comes from God. And so God is basically trying to help us to get back in our little box, in our little bubble, amen, and realize we're plain people who pray to somebody who is very powerful. But when you go back to 1 Kings chapter number 19, here's what God's helped me at. Because here's what I've done, and I think a lot of preachers have done it, and people have done it. When you get to 1 Kings 19, you see Elijah running from this lady called Jezebel. And we start saying, what in the world are he doing? Running from Jezebel. Man, do you see what God did for him? Do you see how God helped him? Do you see how God delivered him? Man, all he had to do was call on the same God that did all those wonderful things for him, and God would have took care of his Jezebel. And I know some of us say that, but get this here. He's like us. How many of us are just plain people who call on God every once in a while, see God do some powerful things, but somewhere in our life, we get petrified of life. Like, wow. Man, I wasn't expecting this. See, our expectations are not always met. Elijah just think, I believe with all my heart, because he's like us. Man, God did this. When it comes to this next thing here, whoo, man, there ain't going to be no problem. But what God did for me, and God took me back to these portions of scriptures over here in 1 Kings 18, verses 41 through 46, and God helped me to see some things so that you and I can realize when we get over here, oh, by the way, when he got petrified, here's what God said. When he's talking about, oh, kill me. Here's what God said. You need to stand up and eat a little bit. Get up and eat. I like that part. God said, you need some strength. See, most of us don't realize we've been going and we've been going and we've been going. Matter of fact, I've been told it this way here. If you keep pouring out, sooner or later you get empty. So what you got to do is fill it back up. You got to fill it back up. Elijah's been going. Elijah chapter 17, Elijah chapter 18, now in chapter number 19. I just want to die. And God said, eat. And then God said, he let him rest. And then he said, eat again. Because you got quite the journey you got to go on. And here's what God is saying. The devil wants all of us to say, I'm so tired, I'm so frustrated, I'm so weak right now, I just want to give up and die. And God says, no, you can't do that. You can't do that. Now watch this now. The Bible says to us, he sent his servant over here to go look for some rain. Hey, it's going to be an abundance of rain. I laugh at this all the time. It's going to be abundance of rain. And when he finally does say some rain's coming up, he said, it kind of looked like the size of a man's hand. Or it looks like a man's hand. Now, I got to be honest with you. When I read that there, I was asking God, is it a man's hand covering the whole sky? No, he just said, it's just like a little cloud. That's what he said, right? And I began to start saying, there ain't nothing. But you know what Elijah said? Oh, it's going to be in abundance. Oh, go tell Ahab, you better get to getting. Because it's going to rain, it's going to rain. You better get ready and better some mine. Oh, that's another song we sang growing up. And he said, it's going to rain. And it's time to evacuate. It's time for you to get out of here. But notice what happened. He had to do this thing seven times. And when he went back, those words right there. In this little verse 43, look at it if you would, please. Go back to 1 Kings 17. The Bible says, and he said to his servant, go up now, look toward the sea. And he went up and looked, and he said, there ain't nothing. There is nothing. So here's my question to you tonight. What do you do when there is nothing? What do you do when you've been praying for your family and there is nothing? How do you handle it when you've been praying for your flesh to be healed and there is nothing? All of a sudden, they came with the slips and said, you've been laid off, and you've been laid off, and you've been praying, they've been skipping you, but all of a sudden, you get the little note, and your finances are destroyed. What do you do when there is nothing? If God is God, follow him. And what happens a lot of times is when all of a sudden there is nothing, we stop following God. We stop trusting God. We stop looking toward God. And God is saying, I got to ask you a question. Am I God in your life? Do you believe that I can fix anything the way that needs to be fixed in your life? Because I'm not here to tell you that you're going to always get the millions. You're not even going to probably get the hundreds. And you may not even get a little change of change. But is he still God? What do you do when there is nothing? What do you do when they tell you your son's 2 pounds and 12 ounces? What do you do? I know what I did. And I'm telling you something, it wasn't an easy task to do, but I know what I did, and I know it works, and God took care of me. What do you do when they tell you your daughter has cancer, and she's got 2 kids, and you might have to take them over? What do you do when there is nothing? 1 surgery, a 2nd surgery, a 3rd surgery. What do you do? We've all had to go through it. Yes, we're playing people. And yes, we're praying people. And yes, we see the power of God. But sometimes in our life, we get petrified with what's going on in our life. We are scared and we don't know what to do. And God is saying, stop saying, I just want to die. Because let me ask you this question. What good did that do? What good will that do? Again, I'm not trying to talk about anybody's got any thoughts in their mind. I'm just saying I've come to find out. And God has helped me to know what to do when there is nothing. Have you been there? You don't see anything in your future, there's nothing. Young lady, you're saying, man, I've been waiting for God to send me the spouse that he promised me he'd give me if I come out from among them and be ye separate and live a holy and sanctified life. But there's nothing. And dear God, you know my heart, what I want to do and how I want to live for you, but there's nothing. And then all of a sudden the devil said, well, if ain't nothing over here, why don't you go and try it over there? No, don't you do that. Don't you do that. When there is nothing, listen to me now. I hope you get this if you don't get anything else. When there is nothing, there's still God. Whew. So when there is nothing, there's still God. He's still omnipotent. He's still omnipresent. He's still omniscient. He's still immutable. He still loves you. And what a friend we do have in Jesus. Amen. What do you do? This is what I had to do. This is what God showed through this text. Look at verse 43 again. When there is nothing, what do you do? The Bible says in verse 43, and he said to his servant, go up now, look toward the sea. He went up and looked and said, there is nothing. He said, go again 7 times. Wait a minute. Elijah, the man just told you there is nothing. The man just told you there is no rain. The man just told you, and he's going back and forth and back and forth, and he still don't see anything. Why you keep sending him? Here's the thing here, because Elijah had something when the servant saw nothing. Elijah, what did you have? Here's what you and I need to get a hold of, and this is so important. We need to get a hold of the sovereign, divine word of God. What do you mean, preacher? Go back to 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 1. 1 Kings 18, verse 1. Are you still okay? Say amen. If you're not okay, say, oh me. Look what he says here. And it came to pass after many days that the word of the Lord. Oh, what? The word of the Lord came to Elijah the third year saying, go show thyself unto Ahab, and I will send rain upon. Come on, somebody. You know what he said to him there? He said, hey, you go talk to Ahab now. Now understand something here, that I've said that it wasn't going to be any rain. There hasn't been any rain. And you know that from James for these 3.5 years now, and also reading the Bible and putting it all together. You know it's not been any rain. But when I said it's going to be some rain, hey, guess what? It's going to be rain, and ain't nothing going to stop it. Amen. But you say, preacher, you just told us we would always get the rain. Here's what I want you to get. You always can get the word of God, though. What do you mean by that, preacher? I think he still said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. He still say he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He still said to us in Psalm 139 and verses 7 through 11, you can't go anywhere and I'm not there. See, here's what God is saying. A lot of times when we see nothing, here's what we're saying. I'm all by myself. God says, no, you're not. No, you learn to take my, matter of fact, Psalm 119, verse 165. Great peace have they which love thy, and nothing shall offend. I mean, nothing to get you out, nothing to get you to quit, nothing to take and cause you to say, you know, I'm done with this. I want you to see something. Are you still with me? And this is going to be important as we get to the end of this here little thought God has given here. Look at 1 Kings chapter 17. 1 Kings chapter 17. 1 Kings 17. Look at verse number 2. Now remember 1 Kings chapter 18, verse number 1. But 1 Kings chapter 17, verse number 2. Of who? The Lord came unto him saying, now get thee hence and turn thee eastward and hide thyself by the brook Cherith, and that is before Jordan. Now what is he going down there for? Because ain't going to be no rain. There's going to be no rain. And so he said, you got to get down there by that brook. And look at verse number 5. The Bible said, and so he went and did according unto the word of the Lord. Where the Lord, you say, preacher, what are you trying to say to me? See, God says a lot of times the reason why, when there is nothing, we kind of give up because we've forgotten what God's word said. God said, forsake not to assemble ourselves together as the manner of some is. But before that, because he said, because we, verse 25, but in verse 24, he said, we're considering one another to provoke unto love. And by the way, let me just help you here with something here. Stop saying that I'm not going to be in church, my heart is with you. When your heart is with me, but your body is not, you can't provoke me to love and good. That's what you want me to watch. Oh, I felt the presence of their heart. It was all around me. No, God is trying to teach us something here. We need one another, and we help one another, and we can comfort one another, and we can provoke one another. Amen. So here's what Elijah just said. Elijah said, go, it's going to be some rain. He come back and say, ain't nothing. He said, go and do it again. Why? Because I got the word of God on this. You know, there's a lot of times God has given us his word on how to deal with stuff. Oh, dear God, I'm having trouble with my family. God said, I've tried to teach you how to raise one. God, I have trouble with my finances. I teach you that you got to give your tithe. I know you don't have no problem in here. Like, this is a wonderful church, a big church. I know everybody in here is doing what they're supposed to do by way of tithes. So I'm not here to preach about that because that's the pastor's job and stuff like that. So I won't even mention that everybody's not tithing. Because the truth of the matter is this, is God is saying, I give you my word on some stuff. And that's how you're going, when there is nothing, what do you live by? My word. It's so important that we have the sovereign word of God. Look, if you would, please, First Kings 17, verse 8. And the word of the came unto him, saying, so here it is, the word of the Lord. Arise, go to Zarephath, which belongs to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. Time out. What she got? You said a widow woman? Yeah, and then when you get down there, you know what she said? I ain't got nothing. He said, go do what I told you to do. And by the way, aren't you, listen to me now. Because I don't know how it's going to turn out. But if I just do what God, if I go down to the brook, I'm going to get a bologna sandwich in the morning and in the evening. And it's going to be a raven bring it to me. What do you mean by that, preacher? It's going to be a bird that normally, if he got something in his mouth, he's not trying to share it with me. But God makes sure that when he got my bologna sandwich, he just, right there. No residue, anything. Come on, help me, somebody. And then when he go get somebody else bologna sandwich, he like, God didn't tell you to go by the brook. You in trouble now, amen. But he gets it. Then he goes down to where what? Because the word of the Lord. Now again, I don't understand how God always works. I'm going to give you some stuff here in just a moment at the end here. But God is saying here, here's what you've got to learn to do. Live by the word of the Lord. You want to be prosperous and have good success? God says in Joshua chapter 1, verse number 8, this book of the law should not depart out of thy mouth. This word of God, thou shalt do what? Meditate on it. And then do what? Observe to do according to all that's written therein. Then shalt thou make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. God didn't tell me how again it was going to turn out, but here's what God said here. If you do what I tell you, it always works out for good and, of course, for my glory. So can I ask you a question? When all of a sudden you start having days where there is nothing, where do you go? I know where you go. You got that. We were talking about things that kids don't remember nowadays. This is called a phone. You never seen a phone, I know. Now, I didn't say cell phone. I said rotary dial. Not even one of them. Deep, 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 deep. I mean, rotary. Amen. Matter of fact, if you was fast enough, you don't even have to get out of the first place with that rotary dial. You can three, four. You do it just for fun. It didn't make any sense. You take it over to where it's supposed to so it can go. But if you can just, some of you looking at me like, what in the world are you talking about? See, you guys don't know how to have fun. Here's your fun. Okay, I'll leave that one alone. Amen. I'll let Brother Johnson talk about your fat fingers and thin necks. Come on now. But the truth of the matter is this, is that if you and I are ever going to get through our times when there is nothing, God says, you got to come back to my word. There ain't nothing there. Wait, listen, I'm telling you there's an abundance of rain because God told me so. Number next, write this down if you're writing anything down. Not only do we see a sovereign divine word of God, but how about this here? A submissive, determined will. Or it could say a surrendered, determined will. Here's what he said. Go up. He went. Came back. There ain't nothing. Go up. He went. There, I see some of you right now. I read the Bible and I see what the Bible said. I've done what God told me to do. Now I need to tell you something, preacher. It ain't working. It's just not working. You see, here's the thing most of us don't get. Is that God says, you have a responsibility. I give the results. What's my responsibility? Go up. See, God never told the servant, go up there and make some rain. He said, just go see if you see some. My responsibility is to go up and look. God's responsibility is to kill, sit it down. Hey, man. See, here's what some of us are. Okay, watch this now. Here's what you are. I just like some kid. What do you want me to go do it for? I did it already, and there ain't nothing out there. Let me tell you what, listen to me. Here's our biggest problem sometimes when we don't see anything. And God, listen to me now. God is checking. We look for the destination. God is looking to see how we go on the journey. You want the rain. God said, I want to see if you'll keep going to look for it. And while you're looking for it, I want to see, are you like this here? I've been out here all these times, and every time I go, ain't nothing out there. Hey, just like I told you, ain't nothing out there. See, God's looking at our attitude as well as our activity and how much, again, attention we're paying to what he wants us to do versus what he's supposed to be doing. So, listen to me now. When he told him to go, again, just that surrender, a determined will. I'm going to do what God told me to do. What if you don't see anything? I'm going to do what God told me to do. And what if you don't see anything? I'm going to do what God told me to do. And what if you don't see anything? I'm going to do what God told me to do. And what if you don't see anything? I'm going to do what God told me to do. And what if you don't see anything? I'm going to do what God told me to do. He saw it on the seventh time. What if God don't show you on the 10th time or the 20th time or the 100 times? What if God don't show you at all before you leave this world? You know what you're supposed to do? I'm going to do what God told me to do. Our biggest problem today is this here. Again, we're concerned about the destination. God's looking at the journey. Old preacher used to say this here. God's not concerned about how loud you shout. He's trying to check out how straight you walk. And most of us, when it comes to our walking with the Lord, it's like this. Again, I think he said his commands are not grievous. But what's our problem today? When we don't see what we expectations aren't met, we start saying, why am I still doing this? A kid has been good for a whole week because he expects at the end of the week he's going to get to go to some restaurant or some amusement park and then all of a sudden he don't get to go. Guess what? On Monday, he's like this. I'm going to be a little devil again. Yeah. While we're laughing at kids, we're adults the same way. I don't get what I want. Guess what, God? I am tired. It's almost the way we look. I'm playing this game with you. I said, oh, you call it a game? I thought it was you giving yourself over to me. He was God's servant. See, Joshua said, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. How long you going to hop between two opinions? How long before you make up your mind that, hey, God is God, and that's the end of it. And whatever God says, that settles it. Our biggest problem today is this, is that God is saying, I need you to do this. Lead to point number three. We got God's word. We got our will. And God says, and I'm checking out, your work. What? Notice what he said. Are you still with me? I'm still in verse 43. He said, go, verse 43, and said to his servant, what? Go up now. And then look toward the sea. And the Bible said, and he went up and look. Sometimes I read the Bible and I start saying, God, that's too simple. God says, and it's that way on purpose. What did I tell him to do? Go up, not go down, not slide side to side. And in going up, it might take a little bit more energy, perspiration. It's called sweat. But someone's like this. Again, that's too hard. And then he told him what to do when he got there. He said, look toward the sea. So again, here we go. Look toward the sea. Here's what some of us. God said, now watch this now. Are you still with me? God said, there is a direction I'm sending you. And there's a duty I'm requiring of you when you get there. So here's what God is saying. Here's our biggest problem. There's no steadfast work in a direction. And so here's what God is saying. Listen to me now. Here's what didn't happen. He didn't say, hey, Elijah, I've been up here. Do you think we can change the program? I know that's what most of us want to do. Let's change the listen to here. Do you think there's some way we can change the way we proceed? No, he didn't ask for that. He just did what he was supposed to do. He went up and he looked toward the sea. Ain't nothing. He went up and he looked toward the sea. Now, here's the thing that gets me. Because again, steadfast work. Most of us would have said, look, after the third time, are you expecting something to change? By the way, if God's word said it, and he said, if you surrender your will, you will see what will happen if you'll keep on doing the work. Yeah, I expect something to change. I expect something to change when my 2-pound, 12-ounce son is born, when the doctor said he's going to die that night. I expect something to change. I expect him to be around still for 43 years. Say, preacher, why did you expect that? Because all I knew would do was go into that old room and get on my knees and pray and talk to God. I expected something to change when of course, all the things that were going on at the church and stuff. And I'm telling you, it was a mess. I haven't talked to many people about it. I've talked to your Pastor Johnson about it in the past. Yes, I expected something to change. And I got tired. I wanted to give up, but I'm still in the ministry. Yes, I expect something to change. And I don't want to change God's plan and God's program and the way God proceeds in doing what he does. Listen to me, I'm going to stick to what God said do. And God said, that's exactly what I need you to do when there is nothing. Preacher told me this one time. We're going through a lot of trouble. He said, get up, go to church. You do it this way. Get up, talk to God, put your pants on, go down to church to preach God's word. Come back home and ask, thank God for getting you through that. Because what did he do? He called you to go preach and pastor. So you get up on Sunday morning. You heard that old sermon about the man who woke up and said, I don't want to go to church today. His wife said, you got to. He said, why do I have to go? He said, because you're the pastor. And that's how sometimes we feel. But you know what, Brother Mike, you have to do? You get up, put your pants on, you go down there and do what God told you to do. And you come home and say, thank you, God, for getting me through. Before you know it, it becomes a habit. You're just doing what God told you to do. You say, preacher, but you still don't see any rain. So here's the thing. Again, you more concerned about the destination. God's concerned about what's the journey? Getting us a habit that's pleasing to God. Get up, you read your Bible. Get up, you pray. Get up, you sing a song. Get up and come to church. You give your tithes and offering. I said, I wasn't going to mess with that again. But you get a habit. Here's the last thing. You ready? The last thing is this here. The supernatural wonders you'll see from God. What happened? Rain. Can I say something to you? Why did it finally take rain? Why does it finally take rain? But say, oh, look at what God has done. Children of Israel, why in Exodus chapter number 15 do you get to the other side of the Red Sea? And all of a sudden the Bible says, we got this song of Moses. Why does it take to the other side of the Jordan? Because I'm telling you something here. We were waiting for that supernatural wonders of God to work in our lives. But God said, you've forgotten about what I've already done. You forgot I got you out of Egypt with 10 plagues. You forgot I take you through the wilderness. You forgot I've done all of these wonderful things for you. Hey, Elijah, what are you standing on? Every time the servant said, I didn't see nothing. He said, I'm standing on the brook that I was down by. I'm standing at the barrel that I was getting meal out of. I'm standing with the bottle that the oil came from. I'm standing on the boy that God raised up. And I believe that God got me with the battle with the prophets of Baal. So God is getting ready to send an abundance of rain because he said so, amen. You mean to tell me God hasn't done anything for you? You say, preacher, what are you trying to do? I'm trying to tell you, the only one that wants us to quit on God, and let's stop pretending that we, and I know some of you are more spiritual than some of the rest of us. God had to help me and remind me of what he brought me through. When there is nothing, there's still God. A preacher, my prayer hasn't been answered. Are you sure about that? Are you really sure about that? Because I'm not trying to tell you that you're going to put your hand on it, walk around it three times, and the next time, the fourth time, it's going to be yours. That's that prosperity preaching. I don't believe in that stuff. But I do believe this. Here, God sends answers. Again, call unto me, and I will answer thee. Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and the door shall be opened unto you. What do you mean by that, preacher? I believe God sends answers. Here's the answers, and I'm done. Sometimes God sends direct answers of yes. Sometimes God says, there it is. Boy, I know he's done that for me. But sometimes God sends not only direct answers of yes, but sometimes God sends, oh man, delayed answers, which are, I'm checking you out. So we always think delayed answers is just God saying, you know what, I don't want to do it. And God says, no, I want to do it, but I got to check you out. Because probably if I give it to you right then and right there, you may not even come back to church. How many times you see people that all of a sudden get an answer from God, and then before you know it, they're no more walking with God? But wait a minute, there's some who God said, I'm going to deny you that answer. You're not getting it. Why? Because you don't need that one. Here's what it is. So we got direct, we got delayed, we got denials, and you know the last one, we got something different. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Most of you read about Paul over there saying, get this thorn out of my flesh. I want it from my side. It got to go. Three times he talked to God. This got me right here. God said what? No. And he said, no. And he said, no. But then he said, my grace is sufficient for thee. And Paul said, man, I'd rather be weak. So then that's when I know I'm strong. I'm paraphrasing, I know. But think about it here. Here's what God is saying. Some of you will never, ever be able to do a couple things. One, experience the grace of God and learn how to live in the grace of God unless he tells you. Paul, you've been living in grace, right? Yeah. He said, but this right here, this is making you powerful. This is making you powerful. And sometimes when you ask God to do certain things for you, he don't do it. You look at it and say, okay, God, I don't know what you're doing right now, but I know there's a future for what you're doing in my life. Some of us don't believe that. And that's the reason why. We don't listen to God like we should. We don't lean on God like we should. Lean not into thine own understanding. We don't look to God like we should. I lift up mine eyes unto the hills, for which cometh my help. And because of that, we stop living for God like we should. But I ask you to do something here tonight. Say, God, when there is nothing, you're still God. And you know what? I'm just going to wait to see what you're going to do. There was nothing out there, and he said, let there be light. Whoa. I'm just going to wait to see what you're going to do next. Because God can when nobody else can. Somebody say amen. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. I want to ask you a question tonight. I want to ask you a real serious question tonight. Do you ever get to the place where you say, God, this just ain't working? I'm kind of tired. Kind of fed up. Oh, by the way, you don't have to answer me in the affirmative of a yes. God knows the truth. And I know God knows me. And God knows where I've been. God knows where I'm going to be at when I have to get to this verse again. When there's nothing, what I'm going to do? Trust the word of God. Keep giving God my will. Surrender my will. I'm going to keep on working like he told me. And I'm going to wait for the wondrous things he's going to do because I know the wonderful things he's done. Listen, lean, look, and live for him. Some of you have been there. Things have gone on in your family. They've gone on with your finances. They have problems in your flesh. I heard about people having kids going to the grandchildren, going to the doctors now and stuff. Those things happen. You have got to understand God knows, and he's here for you. Father, bless now. Please help, I pray. And dear God, if there's someone here that's not saved, help them understand they got to come to your word. Your word says that they have to recognize who they are, sinners. And your word says we have to understand the sentence. The wages of sin is death. Word says we have to see the Savior who died and buried and rose again. God commends love toward us, and that while we are sinners, Christ died for us. And then we have to submit to what your will says, your word says, about being saved. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If there's somebody here tonight, never said I'm a sinner, never understood they deserved the sentence of death, never realized Jesus Christ the Savior died, was buried, and rose again. They've got to submit for themselves. It's not grandma's faith and mama's faith and Annie's faith. It's their faith in what you've said. The character who you are who cannot lie. But then for those of us that are saved, please, dear God, help us. These days are getting tough. And sometimes we say it when we wake up, there is nothing. There is nothing. There is nothing. But help us to keep on going. Let us not be weary in well-doing for a new season. We'll reap